Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahruddin was.
When we say Divan of Hafiz is a book of Irfan.
Mawlavi claims that this Masnavi Ma'navi is the interpretation of the Quran.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an introduction into the lives and thoughts of the most outstanding Muslim Shia dignitaries, personalities, and ulama. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, I have two special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Shaykh Fadai. Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Shaykh Fadai, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about an outstanding Shiite faqih, a thinker, an alim, and a scholar. He is no one but Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. You know, politically, socially, and religiously speaking, he was an outstanding man. He had so much positive effects in the mainstream studies of the Hausa of Iraq, and his political thoughts really helped very much in order to have a better understanding of an Islamic establishment or government. Shahid al-Sadr, through his book, was after a kind of, we can say, ideal or perfect Islamic land. I mean, it has its own independent system of thought, rulings, you know, and the role of the Muslim rulers are very much emphasized on that. What's your point regarding this?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, of course, the Shahid Sadr's ideas and viewpoints in this respect are really important and a kind of preparatory sort of ideas for the establishment of an Islamic system or government in the Islamic world and Islamic countries. For instance, according to Shiite scholars, the necessity for establishment of Hukuma al-Islamiyya, sometimes it is because of the riwayat and ayat. You know, some of these scholars are of the view that based on ayat and riwayat, we can prove the necessity of establishment of an Islamic government.
Yes.
But there are some other scholars who are of the view that no, maybe by the riwayat and ayat, we may not reach to the level of certainty that this kind of necessity is there, rather beyond ayat and riwayat, our nature, our fitrah, our aql, our intellect and reason tells us that we have to establish such a system, certain Islamic and divine kind of system. So these are two main kind of viewpoints in this respect. But according to the Shahid al-Sadr, Radwanullahi ta'ala alayhi, he is of the view that the necessity for the establishment of an Islamic kind of government goes to the fitrah of human or to the nature of the human. Because of what? Because according to him, it is through only the establishment of an Islamic government and, let's say, political system,
yes,
that the nature of man would be actually, grew up or improve and perfect it based on the Islamic doctrines and teachings. And then the Islamic civilization, which is the main objective of Islam and the religion of Islam, that only could be achieved via, yes, that Islamic system. So that's why, according to him, the reason for the establishment of such a system is fitrah, or nature of man. And the other beautiful idea that is actually developed by the great Shahid al-Sadr, Ridwanullah ta'ala alayhi, is this, the idea or the theory of haqq al-ta'a. This is very beautiful because, you know, whenever, according to this idea or theory, whenever you are in the status of doubt or skepticism regarding a specific action that you do not know whether you have to do this or not, and there is no any explicit kind of rulings in riwayat and ayat regarding that.
Yes.
So you do not have any ayah and riwayat to tell you that either you have to do this or not to do that. So in this kind of status, what should you do? According to Shahid al-Sadr, based on the principle of haqq al-ta'a, he is of the view that even if there is no ayah, no riwayat regarding an issue or let's say a kind of action that you want to act, if you think by your reason, by your intellect, if you think that probably there, for example, might be a kind of hukum, a kind of rule, divine rule, If you just probably or possibly you think that there is such a possibility,
yes.
In this case, you have to be muhtaat. You have to be cautious.
You have
to perform the idea of, let's say...
So and by you, this means the scholar or no, any ordinary...
By the scholars.
Scholars.
Even by the ordinary people. Uh-huh. If sometimes an ordinary person think that, okay, here, for example, I should observe this law, though I do not, I'm not sure that whether an ayat or ayat I have something, but my aql, my intellect, my reason tells me that here you have to, for example, not to do this thing.
Okay.
You know, here... he says that, of course, you have to fulfill haqq al-ta'a, but
right.
the very interesting part of his idea is this, that despite the fact that he principally or theoretically he is of such a view, but he says that since in riwayat, in a hadith, we are told that we have to fulfill the aslul bara'a. Aslul bara'a means that in such a cases that you're not sure, you're in the status of skepticism, then here there's no need to to observe that.
Yes.
You have to fulfill aslul bara'a. He says, since ayat and riwayat tells us that we have to fulfill aslul bara'a, I am committed to the aslul bara'a.
Okay.
While theoretically and rationally, I'm of the view that haqq ta'a should be performed here.
That's
so
right.
These are all the ideas that paved the ground.
Thoughts and ideas.
They paved the ground for the establishment of a kind of Islamic ruling and system.
Ruling and system.
Yes.
That's all right. Okay.
Sheikh Muhammad Al-Hilli talks about Shaheed Sadr.
There's a lot of dispute out there today amongst historians and especially scholars as to what was the theory, the Islamic political theory, espoused by Sayyid al-Shaheed al-Sadr. And if you, of course, look at his writings, you'll come to the conclusion that he proposed an understanding from the Quran based on the system or the belief in Shahada. That there needs to be a major role played by the jurist, by the faqih. But of course, you study the life of Sayyid al-Shaheed and his ruling and his writings, and it seems, and Allah knows best, that there's slight transformation, and his opinions tend to slightly change towards the end of his life. There's no doubt that Sayyid al-Shaheed was inspired by the Islamic revolution in Iran. In fact, nobody today disagrees that when the revolution occurred, Sayyid al-Shaheed said, لَقَدْ تَحَقَّقَتْ حُلُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاء, that the dream, the goal of the prophets have been fulfilled. And of course, he famously said regarding the following of Imam al-Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, ذُوبُوا فِي الْإِمَامِ الْخُمَيْنِي كَمَا ذَابَ هُوَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ, that surround yourselves, dissolve yourselves in the personality of Imam al-Khomeini, in that sense, just like how he has done this when it comes to the religion of Islam. And in fact, he was ready to become a wakil, despite the fact of being a marji' al-taqleed, he was happy to become the representative of Imam al-Khomeini in one of the provinces or cities in Iraq, to that extent that he was inspired by the Islamic revolution. But of course, when you read the book Al-Islam Yaqudul Hayat, he points to this idea that the scholar has an important role to play in governorship. And certainly he rejects any notion of secularist type of government. But what is now being suggested, of course, is that he was very much in favor of the theory of Wilayat al-Faqih in its absolute sense, because every scholar believes in the theory of Wilayat al-Faqih, but some believe in its limited capabilities, and others say no, that the Wali al-Faqih has the complete authority over the affairs of the community, so to speak, and the Muslim Ummah. He perhaps, and we cannot be absolutely conclusive, because of course at the tender age of 45 he was martyred, yet he was progressing and very much inspired by the thoughts of Imam al-Khomeini, but within the context that he believed that a scholar must act within the frameworks of the Sharia, but with the involvement of the people.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah. And politically, he was very much active, Sheikh Fadai, isn't it? I mean, during that time, I think the Ba'ath regime was very much active in Iraq, and he struggled very much against the Ba'ath regime and their extremist ideas. That's, it got it to his martyrdom, isn't it?
Yes. At that time, in the time of Saddam Hussein, there was a party, Hizbul Ba'ath, the Ba'ath party.
Yes.
Of course, it was just called Hizb and
yes.
party. It was just a dictatorship.
Yes.
At that time, Shahid Assad had a fatwa, because he was a marja, a lot of people follow him. He had a fatwa that joining the party of Ba'ath is haram.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was a danger for Saddam Hussein and his party. And they arrested him and his sister, Shahida bint al-Huda.
Yes.
And it is interesting that in the prison, there were some situations for him in order to be free.
Mm-hmm.
They told him, if you take back your fatwa that you said joining the Hizb of Ba'ath, party of Ba'ath is haram, and then vice versa, if you give a fatwa that joining Hizb al-Da'wah was a party that was formed by Shahid Said and some
yes.
of his friends, like Ayatollah Mohsen Hakim.
Yes.
They asked him to give a fatwa that joining...
Against Hizb al-Da'wah in support of Hizb al-Ba'ath.
Okay. Haram.
Yes.
And then the third condition was that you shouldn't confirm the Islamic revolution of Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Because Shahid Said was in the side of Imam Khomeini. They
yes.
have a very close idea about
yes.
Wilayat al-Faqih, about the Islamic statement.
Mm-hmm.
By accepting these three conditions, he could be free,
mm-hmm.
but he never accepted that.
Yes.
And because of that, he and his sister were killed.
Shahida bint al-Huda, that's
Shahida
right.
bint al-Huda.
Okay.
And we talked about Imam Khomeini. I want to say that when some of his students were in Iran, because they were under the oppression in Iraq,
yes.
a lot of his students went to Iran and they mm-hmm. were studying in Iran in the Hoza Ilmiya of Qom. Once he wrote a letter to his students in Iran, and that was the time of Imam Khomeini, the beginning of Islamic revolution of Iran at that time. And he had a letter to his students, and in that letter, he confirmed the Islamic revolution of Iran and advised his student to back this revolution completely.
Yes.
And there was that famous sentence, ذوبوا في الإمام الخميني كما ذابه في الإسلام.
Yes.
You know, it is not possible to translate zob
yeah. yes.
in English.
Yes.
But we can say, try to be completely focused on Imam Khomeini, not anyone else, because he is completely focused in Islam.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, you know, when we see this relationship, Imam Khomeini was a marja, and he was a marja as well.
Yes.
It means that selfishness was not important for these kind of scholars in Islam.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to get their goal. The goal was Islamic statement and government against secularism,
yes.
against the government of Taghut. He tried a lot in Iraq, and of course he tried a lot in Iran by his students, and that was the reason of his martyrdom. But we can see nowadays, we can see that killing him was not successful for his enemies,
okay.
because he is alive by his ideas
yes,
and books.
And thoughts, that's right. Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the life account of Shahid Muhammad Baghir al-Thad. He was assassinated and killed on April 5th, 1980. As you said, his body was taken in secret, you know, it's better to say cemetery or burial place, and that's all right. But in
14, 27, according to the Hijra calendar, his body and his grave was again taken into the entrance of the holy city of Najaf. Today is the visiting place of so many of the visitors from all across the world. May Allah bless the soul of Shaheed Sayyid Muhammad Baghir Asad and Shaheed Bintul Huda Asad. It was very kind of you, Sheikh Fadai and Sheikh Rouhani. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parsefield.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanat. معلم